This week in the Famicom Dojo podcast, we're going to try something a little bit different. First, we're going to do our regularly scheduled semi-off-the-cuff discussion, then a blast from the past with Vink in a Rebel in Japan segment originally released as part of the Four Color Rebellion podcast. And last but not least, we answer some of your burning questions about video games, this podcast, and the Famicom Dojo video show on this show. I think that's good. I'll get that right.
You know, Sean, games in the 80s or like, I don't know, late 70s were really bleak.
What do you mean?
Well, like, well, okay, take Pac-Man for instance. I mean, what's the game going on there? Pac-Man's being chased by ghosts. He can eat these dots, they give him points. He can eat these bigger dots, and they allow him to very temporarily be able to eat the ghosts, you know?
Okay.
Right. Now, I don't know. I've never gotten past, I don't know, maybe the seventh stage of Pac-Man. I don't know. Not too far. But you know, eventually the ghosts get you. And, right. Like, if you're the best player in the world, eventually you get to, you know, the kill screen and the game's over. Pac-Man never gets away from those ghosts.
Right.
Well, take another game. Take Space Invaders, one of the first really, like, the first really successful coin-op game in Japan. Those invaders will keep attacking. Now, like, right. you're defending, okay?
Right.
But there's no victory for Earth. Eventually those invaders are going to get down and the Earth, you know, and destroy the Earth. Like, take that music that goes on, the kind of like the, you know, the approaching, I don't know, war drums or whatever, you know. The goal is just to survive as long as possible. It's like a survival horror game without the horror or the
survival.
Those survivals there.
We'll, like, survive forever.
You're just holding off the inevitable. What's another one? Not Asteroids. What's Missile Command?
Yeah.
Eventually, you're going to, you know, have your base destroyed. I don't know. What do you think? Was this just the mentality then? I mean, this is the Cold War era.
God, how morbid. I hadn't really thought about it that way. Although you played Robot Unicorn Attack, right? It's the exact same thing. It even tell you in the loading screen, you will fail.
I suppose. But, like, I'm trying to, I mean, most, I don't know, perhaps it's because a lot of those games back then, limited memory, you know, right. Stuff like that, they didn't have cutscenes, you know, there wasn't, and, you know, if a player were to win the game, you know what I mean? That's, you know, they're not going to throw any more quarters in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those were arcade games, and if they win, then they don't play anymore. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
What arcade games do have ends, though? Like, I don't know. Like, arcade games these days don't really have stories much anymore.
There are arcade games these days?
Well, yeah. I live in Japan. But okay. I mean, all
right, so it's like
here.
Fighting games. You can get to the top of the ladder, but it's really hard. Right.
Yeah, you can get to the top of the ladder. There's some end story there.
But I mean, Turtles game, like, or any of those side-scrolling beat 'em ups.
But I mean, a lot of them are just like racing games and stuff. I mean, you win the race,
right?
And then you get to do another race. Or, well, I suppose like the shooting games, like Time Crisis, House of the Dead.
I was trying not to think of Time Crisis. Don't come.
But I mean, they have ends to it. But like,
right. But it's hard to get there. You have to play for a long time and spend a lot of money.
Yeah, okay. It is. But like,
so it's evolved over time. Clearly, so like in the early days, though, it was kind of the same kind of thing over and over. And I think you're right. It's because of limited memory, right? So all you can do is like rearrange the enemies on the screen. Maybe like think of a new one to throw in there, and then like, where the hell did that come from? And then your dad had to put another quarter. That kind of
thing.
Yeah,
But yeah, it's I don't know, I never really thought about it, but like, but like, you can be a good player, but like that just means you stayed alive longer than other players. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and without that, you wouldn't have things like the King of Kong. Right,
that's a good movie, with little too much crying in it for my taste. But
doesn't King Kong only have three levels, or just keep playing those three levels over and over again? I'm not even sure how that works.
I'm thinking it might have had four. Hold on.
Well, still, I mean, no.
The Famicom version had one less level than the arcade version.
Oh, is that what I'm thinking of? Okay.
Oh gosh. Oh dear. This is making me look dumb now. Okay, the first one is obviously that level with the scaffolding, you know, yeah, the classic
right.
level.
Right.
And then the next level was what?
The umbrellas and stuff?
Yeah.
Right. The leaping fire?
Yeah, the leaping fire one.
Yeah.
And
I remember the ones with the studs and you. So those are the three yep. I can remember. I can't remember a fourth one.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I've only really played the home version.
Yeah, me too. But I think there was.
Yeah.
Am I thinking of Cement Factory? Maybe I'm thinking of a different game. Well, anyway.
Yeah. No. So this game is like unintentionally morbid.
Well, I don't know if morbid is, but it's just kind of depressing concept. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. Like, if a game did it today, like Robot Unicorn Attack does it, but it's kind of its catch. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. And it's kind of tongue in cheek at the same time.
Exactly. But, like, most games were like that back then.
Right. Yeah. Partly because of the limitations, partly because of the monetary scheme. Huh.
I mean, I'm trying to think of the first games that you actually could, like, win.
Well, you know, if Donkey Kong only had, like, three or four levels, then you get through to the end. Like, WTF, Nintendo, didn't you learn how you're supposed to make an arcade game?
Yeah, I suppose. In Donkey Kong, you do like rescue the princess, but then she's instantly kidnapped again. You know,
right. It just never ends. I don't think it was even until like console games really came around that changed, right? Because I've been going around at conventions, giving the Famicom Dojo panel, and one of the things I demo is the Pole's voice thing, which is, you know, part of our microphone yeah. roundup episode, done much more succinctly, but I can drag it out for like 10 minutes anyway. but as I'm going through, like, you know, getting to the level where the Pole's voice are, I talk about Zelda and how it was kind of innovative for its time, because until you could save your games, and of course this isn't true for, you know, PCs and whatnot, but until you could save your games on consoles, you couldn't have a multi-session adventure game like that. They just didn't exist.
There was so much fear when they released that game in Nintendo in America, there was so much fear that the gamers just wouldn't get it. That's why it came with
right.
that huge manual. I mean, for the time.
Right.
It was like, I don't know, like 40, 45 some pages, you know, it was a book, you know, in the box with that explaining all the stuff. But like before that, you'd had these little tiny manuals that were basically like, avoid the falling rocks. Press right if a falling rock is coming from the left. You know, good luck, you know.
Well, but that became like an art form after a while, and like you would read the books, and that's when games had to have like stories and stuff that you'd only get from the instruction manual.
You wanna Yeah, exactly. Because there wasn't enough time in the game itself to tell the story.
Well, it wasn't like a lot of capacity either. You know, it didn't have FMVs in the '80s.
No, not at all. I think I remember when Ninja Gaiden came out. That was. Am I saying, is it Gaiden or Gaiden? I should know this. It would be Guy.
Yeah,
like Gaijin. Yeah, because outside.
Gaiden.
Oh, Lear. Lord, I should know that. I've been too influenced.
Well,
by,
you know, when we were kids,
by watching internet videos,
we'd say Gaiden when we were kids, not knowing the difference. And then I think they said Gaiden like in The Wizard, and I was like, that's not right. It's right.
I know. I don't know. Maybe as a kid, I was just afraid to say the word gay. So,
right.
Anyway, when that game came out, it had the cutscenes in it, and at the time,
oh, you're right.
When I played that, I played it at a friend's house. I never had it or whatever. It's a hard game, but
definitely,
but
fun.
But I remember, these cutscenes would come on, and I remember hitting buttons trying to make it do something, because for me, Nintendo games at the time, unless it was the options menu at the beginning of the game, you know, It was either playing the game or not playing the game. There wasn't any of this wait for this to happen.
Right, right.
But, oh, but I remember thinking, wow, that's really cool. I'm sure there were games that had the cutscenes before that, but I think that's the first time I ever really noticed them.
I didn't even think about that until you mentioned it, because I was aware of those too. And they, you know, usually if you have a game, you don't see anything like that until the end. Like I'm thinking now of like the end of Simon's Quest, for instance. Like, you know, sitting at Dracula's grave or your ancestor's grave, yeah, or whatever.
Hey, come to think of it, Pac-Man had cutscenes.
Sort of. I mean, it's just a score screen, right?
No. Remember, there's like the one where Pac-Man's being chased by the ghost to one side of the screen, and then he goes off the screen, he comes back, and he's huge, and he's chasing the ghosts away. And there's another one where there's a dot, and like the ghost like trips over it, and it rips part of the ghost's like shirt. Okay. After you beat like level 7.
Okay, no, I forgot.
Please tell me you know this, and that I haven't just like this hasn't been implanted in my brain.
No, it sounds familiar that you mentioned it, but I don't, you know, I've never been very good at Pac-Man, so I didn't get very far.
Well, that's your homework assignment now. You got to be level, I don't know, whatever level of Pac-Man it is that caused that to happen.
That could be like a supplemental video, like actually trying to play up to that far. Oh,
that would be an embarrassing video. But when I first got my Nintendo, I only had the game that came with it, which was I didn't have the Power Pad set because my parents said that they would not deal with that and how it made the house shake. But I had the set with the gun, and so it was the Mario Duck Hunt double cart,
right?
And then the other game that I got with it was Pac-Man, and which was the only game Tengen actually got licensed by Nintendo.
Right.
All of their others were released on those black, like, reverse-engineered carts.
Well, you know, I found a copy of Gauntlet in, you know, the regular gray cartridge, and I have one that's in the black cart.
Oh, really?
Yeah, weird, right?
It's the exact same game. The video rental store in my town had the black one, so I didn't realize there was an official one on that.
Well, I may be doing research for a certain episode of Famicom Dojo that's coming up.
Far in the future. I hear that show's really good.
Yeah, I've watched it.
Did you know they have a DVD? Sorry.
that one guy with the half goatee or whatever, the half tee, he's annoying. I don't like him at all. He's kind of like Zach Braff.
Looks a bit like Okay, you breed me to it. Okay. But anyway, getting back to this, like, but until you had the cutscene, like, I mean, hey, when you think about it, Mario kind of had cutscenes, but like Mario never gives you anything at the beginning. They just throw you in. You don't even know that you're rescuing the princess till you find the princess.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, actually, until you find out that it's not the princess.
Exactly.
But I mean, you know, that game has an end. But like, I don't know, would modern gamers put up with a game that doesn't have an end? I mean, Robot Unicorn Attack is a, you know, little iPhone game, but like, I mean, a full big budget game where eventually you're gonna die.
No, there's no way they would spend $60 on it and be like, hell no, this was terrible, and there'd be a huge backlash. I mean,
you know,
yeah.
Have you played Infinity Blade?
No, but I've seen it.
Well, I think this is not a huge spoiler because I think everybody knows this already. But like, you get to the end of the game and you die. I mean, the main, no matter what you do the first time through it, you're not powerful enough.
Right.
I mean, there's no amount of leveling you can do that early in the game. I don't think. I'm sure someone's going to write in, "Dear Famicom Dojo, I spent the last 3 years leveling up my character," and yes, you can. But anyway, but you're going to go through, and you're going to, and he's going to kill you, and then the game starts at the beginning again, and you play as your ancestor.
Really?
You're like your son. Like it says it's starting like the second bloodline, and you keep playing through. And after a number of bloodlines, you keep getting more powerful and more powerful, and eventually you can beat this guy at the end. But like, But, like, I mean, that's rare in video games, that you have a game that you go through and, you know, you have no choice but to die. Sometimes role-playing games do it.
Right.
Like, one of your party members will die or something. But, like, the character you play dying is pretty rare.
Right, right. Or if it is, it's like, what, Dragon Age, I think? Oh, yeah, well, that's an RPG, so that just makes sense, actually.
Yep, yeah. But, yeah, it's probably much more of a technological issue than it is of a society issue or a conscious decision to make a stand on, you know, the general consciousness at that time. But when you think about it, I mean, it was a kind of a scary time. You know, you had all these countries building up like all these, you know, nuclear weapons and things, and
right.
And the scenario in Missile Command was not the U.S. will prevail. It was eventually, you know, you're going to be destroyed. How long can you stave that off?
So
it's really, yeah.
Did that change with biotechnology and different kinds of games and console gaming coming more back into prominence, or did it change when the Berlin Wall fell?
No, I think it's a technology thing, but it's interesting to think about.
Well, I think we should put forth the theory that 16-bit gaming was not possible until there was no more communist Russia.
With that uplifting thought that the only escape is death.
All right, so next you're going to hear Vink from the distant past as opposed to the relatively recent past. Although I guess it depends on when you listen to this. So don't be alarmed. He's going to sound exactly the same as he does now.
A study of popular culture and the ubiquitous role of scatological humor. Or, poop is funny. The Japanese have a very advanced culture that respects refined art. There is an appreciation for things such as tea ceremony, flower arrangement, dance, elaborate calligraphy, and cuisine that is as beautiful as it is delicious. There is an admiration of the elegant things of life. They also think poop is funny. Yep. Well, maybe it's just the Japanese people I know, but there seems to be a genuine affection for solid bodily waste. My students can't get enough poop humor. My first week in Japan, my students would come up to me and try to convince me that the Japanese word for ice cream was unko. It's not, by the way. Ice cream in Japanese is aisukurimu, and unko means poop. These kids are junior high school students, so you would think they'd be above the level of poop jokes, but obviously not. They draw pictures of it in their notebooks, neat little rolls and piles, and they enjoy incorporating it into their English conversation drills. And, well, I for one am just happy that they're excited about speaking English. When I first came to Japan, one of the most common questions I would get asked from students was, "How do you say unko in English?" At first I would pretend I didn't know or just wouldn't tell them, but after a while I just gave up and told them, "The word is poop." I had to help them to learn how to pronounce it right. They kept saying it as poopo or poopoo. But after a while, they got the hang of it. Now they're experts. Does it make me a bad teacher that I really get a kick out of watching schoolgirls skipping down the hall singing poop, 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 poop? The fact that I laugh just goes to show that it's not merely a Japanese trait to find excrement amusing. This all came to a head for me the day of the big toilet festival. Yeah, you heard right. In a neighboring town, there is a Toto toilet factory. Toto is a very famous brand of toilet here, and they have their own mascots. Namely, a dancing toilet and a singing, well, a singing turd. This festival was amazing. The stage looked like a giant toilet bowl. And at the stands, they were selling these suspicious-looking brown, cola-flavored snow cones. Everything was bathroom-themed. I shit you not. As I left the festival, they handed me a fan. On the front was the toilet playing a drum, and the big happy turd holding some cotton candy. On the back of the fan were the lyrics to the Toto Kids song, which is about the joy and accomplishment of making big as well as small poops in a brand new Toto toilet. Truly amazing. And being such a technological society, the Japanese have, of course, taken it to the next level. It has entered their video game culture. There are many, many examples of games with poop-based themes. Today, I will share three of them with you. My first experience with defecation as a game element was found in the Japanese Mega CD game Switch. Surprisingly, this game was actually released in America for the Sega CD with the title Panic. This game was weird. Definitely the oddest game I have ever played. In fact, to call it a game is a bit of a stretch. You press buttons and things happen. Strange things. Many of them involving making characters puke or poop. Oh, and there are dancing toilets and Easter Island heads and a Statue of Liberty that sings. And anyway, it's a really messed up game. It totally flopped in the West, but it was a modest success in Japan. Recently, I've been getting into the PC Engine system, or the TurboGrafx-16 as it was called in America. When I first bought my system, I also grabbed a ton of games. One of them was a little gem called Toilet Kids. Toilet Kids is a side-scrolling shooter where you enter a dimension of poop-flinging monsters and giant turd bosses. It plays like Zevius, but leaves you feeling a bit dirty. The cutscenes are especially disturbing. Now I wonder if there's any hope of this game coming out for the virtual console on the new Nintendo system. We can only hope. Next is a series of games called Dangerous Jisan. According to the official website, there are 5 games in this series, 4 of them for the Game Boy Advance. These games revolve around an old man, and many of the mini-games feature poop themes. The new game for the DS makes very good use of the DS's unique features. For example, you can yell into the microphone, "Poop!" And the louder you say poop, the bigger the poop will be, and the more socially awkward the player will feel. I think this will open up a whole new realm of poop-based games. I can just imagine the controller on the new Nintendo system being used as a virtual plunger or something. Soon, if someone says, "Man, this game is crappy," you will have to ask, "Do you mean that in a good way or a bad way?" This is Vink, reminding you to tune in next week for another Crappy Rebel in Japan.
Oh, hey, look at that. We're still here. Weird.
Oh.
What's happening this week?
Well, this week we're going to try to introduce a new segment. Yes?
Yeah. It answers a question, and since we already have a segment for the videos that answer questions, we're just going to call it Famicom Denshi Mail. Does that sound good to you?
Well, it's still electronic mail, so yeah, still works for me.
Still a Famicom Dojo show, right?
Yeah. Yep, works
for me too. So the very first question we have is actually from Ugly Joe. Well, it's not really in the form of a question, but I'm going to make it in the form of a question.
Make it into a form of a question.
Wouldn't it be cool if you guys could do a mini Denshi Mail at the end of each podcast that responded to the comments in the previous week's podcast? I agree, Ugly Joe. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I think so too.
So
and as you get older, girls will come to realize that appearances aren't the only important thing.
What?
Oh, sorry. Not wrong kind of advice. Okay.
Congratulations. This is the first question that we answer. And since we can do this a lot more quickly than doing a video, that's the other thing, too, is that we would do more Denshi Mail, but there's a couple things that have to happen first. First, it kind of has to like rise to the level of us making a video about it. And second, it can't be something that like we're going to plan on, we plan on doing in the future. So, yep. So it's a lot easier, I think, to do this in podcast form.
definitely.
Especially because we do answer the questions that come in either like on YouTube or via email, but no one else really gets to see what we say to other people. And this would be a good way that we can start taking those answers we've already made and, you know, new questions and do this here on the podcast. So
if you have a question, a comment, a concern, yes, a interesting story, a piano composition that you've made for us, or a Sean and Vink fanfic, feel free to send to us.
I don't know about that.
we may not be able to read all those on the air.
So we have like a full on question in relation to the Famicom 3D special. It's not when's part two coming out, although we will answer that later. So Robert Ellis asks us, how can you use a power glove with a Famicom expansion port if your Famicom 3D video? It doesn't look like the plug would fit. So to answer that question, well, I'm a little confused because I don't think we showed the plug for...
The plug, but he does make a valid point.
Yeah, the power glove I was wearing was the medium-sized one for the NES. So you could probably tell that by the signage and also at least the size, but the fact that my fingers were sticking out the ends, which isn't normal unless you have big hands.
And the Japanese one had the initials PAX, PAX, yes, the company that released it on it. So
yes,
so true. The one Sean was using in the American portion of the video wouldn't work, and the one if you see the photo of me wearing a power glove would have worked, but at the time I didn't have a Famicom to hook it up with. So
yeah, I think isn't like that original pilot video we did, or maybe it's in the DVD's blooper reel or something like that, where we try and plug in the power glove, but it doesn't fit. And that's because that plug was supposed to go into the bit that you hang on your TV, and then that has an adapter that goes into the expansion port. So it will
exactly
fit. So it will. But according to Vink, which I just learned before we recorded this, even if you had the Japanese power glove, you really couldn't use it.
Well, I mean, you could use it. You could use it in the same way that you could. I guess you could play Punch Out, although it never really worked like the ads and. You can play Rad Racer, although it never worked as well as in The Wizard. But the thing is, there was one game that did work well on the Power Glove, assuming you had the right size TV and it was set up properly and, I don't know, meteorological things were in the right order. But I don't know. Right. But that game was Super Glove Ball, which was put out by Mattel. I'm not sure if they actually designed it, but they helped release it. And that game was made specifically for the Power Glove. You could play it with a regular controller,
but
which
why?
I tried to, and it was horrible.
Yeah,
it wasn't all that great with the Power Glove either, but it was kind of neat. It was basically a breakout type game in the 3D space. But the thing is, that game never came out in Japan. It was never licensed. PAX, that company who released the Power Glove, released the Power Glove. It was actually the last thing they ever released. They went out of business shortly after that.
Oh, dear.
Possibly because they released a interesting virtual peripheral with no games. So,
what else does that happen to?
So, I don't know. Without a game specifically for it, and without like the huge popularity that Punch-Out and like Rad Racer had here in America, and you know, the Wizard tie-in, I really can't see why anybody in Japan would buy a power glove at all. I bought one in Japan used, and I don't even know why I bought it.
But it's so bad.
It is. It's terrible. Oh, I see.
I already made
there.
A joke on the show.
But anyway, in response to that, the power glove Sean had wouldn't have hooked to his Famicom at all. But a standard a real Famicom power glove would hook there fine.
Yep. So the last question we'll be tackling on today's podcast is one we get a lot. So it's not really by any one person in particular, but basically it boils down to, why don't we do more videos? That is a really, really good question, actually.
It's an excellent question.
Yeah, without making too many excuses, you know, basically we both have day jobs. You know, Kevin has a proper family, and I got like a proto family. You know, we got other responsibilities outside of the show, but we love this show so much. It's something I would love to be able to do full time.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's just we can't do that right now. But for, we still love doing it, and so we spend whatever time we can. But you know, we kind of have to like get together at odd hours to be able to talk like this.
Yeah, like what time is it for you there, Sean?
It's a little after 2 a.m.
And here it's 4:02 p.m. So so this is that one small gap where our schedules meet. And this is when we actually do a lot of the filming and planning. That's another thing. Famicom Dojo, as much as we'd like to say we're super experts and we just do it all off the top of our heads, we actually do have to do some research for these episodes. So for every minute people see, how much planning and filming and editing do you say probably goes into
it? It's a few hours of work per minute, you know, between pre-production, writing out all the scripts, the actual production portion, you know, and we've been getting better at that at least.
Oh yeah, it's getting faster than it was.
Definitely. But then the post production, because we keep trying new elaborate things, takes a little bit longer. So you know,
stop doing that.
Yeah, maybe we should, because one person asked, you know, or I pointed out that, you know, don't just make a cop out and say it's the special effects. Well, sometimes it is the special effects. Another joke's in part one of the 3D special. Some of them took longer than just doing the straight up information took. But I mean, you know, really, if we could do this full time, that'd be, you know, a preference, really. And one way you can help by doing that is by buying the DVD, because it's the only way that we can, you know, like pay for the equipment that we use and just the time, I guess, that we spend not doing other things. But we love doing this, which is why we keep doing it, and we won't stop.
Regardless of anyone buys the DVD or not, or if anyone gives us money, we've been paying out of pocket so far, and we'll continue to do so because we just love doing this. But I guess it's one of those beggars choosers type things, right. You know.
Right.
I mean, we personally would love to make more, but at the time, it's we can only really do it when we can find a chance to do it.
Well, and you said before the show started that one thing that we can do is just not do such complicated shows, you know, because Denshi Mails, we did like recorded three of them in one day, I think, or at least I did on my side. And so we put those out, you know, like a few weeks apart, but then like nothing for whatever 7 months or whatever it was, because we were waiting for the next big thing. And so it's a weird balancing act, you know.
Admittedly, our scope might be a bit bigger. And let us know if you like the like short little 3 minute videos answering questions or Denshi Mails. We can put those out a lot more frequently. We've been focusing a lot on the slightly bigger topics or kind of event episodes. But one of the things that we're doing to keep the ideas flowing and keep a connection with you guys is this podcast right here. So we hope you enjoy that.
Yeah.
If it's just something to for in between episodes,
then of course if we do the Denshi Mails, I said do. Then of course if we do the Denshi Mails, I get asked, well, why aren't you doing a real episode?
Yeah.
So I mean, we try and tie them in topically. That's why the Denshi Mails we put out for season two so far have like tied into like one of the most recent episodes. So you can kind of watch it all together as one, like, what, 20-minute or 30-minute segment of information that's related.
Like that.
So it's designed. We're doing it on purpose, but we're not making you wait on purpose. We would never do that.
But thank you, everyone. Yes. Thank you for wanting more, to tell you the truth. I mean, the fact that we get these emails all the time actually makes us, well, feel a bit guilty, but mostly we feel pretty good about it because when we started this, we had no idea anybody would care to stay with us past the first one. So,
So
thank you for wanting more. And we're not going to try to Guns N' Roses this. You know what I mean?
No,
I mean,
what the hell?
We're gonna release them as often as we can.
Right. Yeah. This is no Chinese Democracy. I tell you what.
So thanks for all of you that wrote in with your questions, and please from our website send us a reply, send us a post, and we'll try to answer your question on the show if possible.
Famicom Dojo.
Did that sound okay? Should I redo that?
No, it sounded fine.
Okay.